funniest, most hitting little families with only five or six children do with themselves.
They're instant priorities. You know you have to protect them and provide for them.
You've given me a massive headache.
It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes an army.
The hospital made us take it home.
We'll look back on moments like these as the happiest in our lives.
It Takes a Parent, brought to you by Matt's Cookies. They're just like homemade cookies with real ingredients. Now also available through Peapod Delivery Service. You can meet Betsy's sponsors at betsysblog.com.
So this week, coming up, is National Teacher Appreciation Week. I should say it's actually next week, but we're getting ready for it now at my school. So it's the 4th to the 8th, but I've already got all the information that's come home with my two youngsters, and boy, there's just a lot in store for these teachers. So on the first day of the week, each teacher will receive a bouquet of flowers. Please have your children bring three flowers for the vases. Second day, teachers will receive a booklet of student worksheets describing what they love most about their class. Day three, blank greeting cards and envelopes selected by the students will be presented to their teachers. Day five, it goes on, or four, the teacher's going to get something from the classroom, a special board game that they can use. And on Friday, it's a special appreciation day and a luncheon. And I'm supposed to send in money and greeting cards we choose and envelopes and this worksheet my kids are supposed to do. And on it goes. Oh, I love this one. On the Monday when we bring the three flowers, the flowers may be taken from your garden if you wish. Is if I have time to grow these flowers because I'm so busy doing all this other stuff to appreciate the teachers at my school. Now, if I sound a little grumpy, here's the reason. The reason I don't have any flowers in my garden right now is because the property taxes that I have to pay are so staggeringly horrific. I do not understand why these teachers are not having a parent appreciation day for these incredibly great jobs that they have. Don't get me wrong. I like my kids' teachers. I think they're pretty good. I pretty much try to stay out of their way. They stay out of mine. We all get along really well. They do a fine job. No problems, no complaints. I like my kids' teachers. It's pretty easy for a teacher to please me. I'm not a helicopter parent. I'm not in the school every other day demanding why aren't they doing this or that. I figure they're professionals. They know what they're doing. I sort of monitor it a little bit at home. But odds are, I trust these people. We're in a good school. They know what they're doing. But come on. Do we have to spend this entire week doing all of this stuff? I mean, what is this? How many other employees get a week of appreciation like this? And then there's Christmas presents, and there's beginning of the year gifts, and there's other teacher appreciation things, and end of the year appreciation. And I'm sorry, they have one of the cushiest jobs that I know of. And I realize I'm probably offending some teachers out there, but hey, come on, let's be serious. Now, maybe if you're teaching in a really tough inner city school district, it's different. But I got to tell you where mine is, it doesn't get easier. And please, it's a great work day. You're out by 3:30 or 4. You get several months off a year paid. But here's the thing, and this is when people complain, oh, teachers only make, you know, $75,000 a year, which is what it is on average in my school district. Give me a break. And, of course, the benefits are gold-plated. Here's what drives me completely crazy. They can't lose their jobs. If they could lose their jobs and everything else they said, I would listen to. But once you tell me that you've got a fabulous job, and we've got a couple elementary school teachers in my school that are making over six figures, gold-plated benefits and pensions, and by the way, it's a big problem in our economy right now, is these municipalities are going under because they've got to pay teacher and police pensions. And you cannot lose that job, which is one reason I'm paying such high property taxes, is because there's no competition. You can't lose that job. No wonder people are lining up for these jobs, literally lining up for them, because they can't be cushier. If you're teaching second grade or fourth grade in my school district, you've got it as good as it gets. So the idea that all of this effort has to be gone to build up these teachers and to appreciate them, give me a break. you know, fine, you know, great, I appreciate you, but I just don't know any other company that does this and spends a week giving their employees flowers and gifts and cards and, oh, you're so wonderful. They've got a great job. That's appreciation enough. And I've got enough to do. I don't need to be, if I'm going to be bringing flowers and gift cards, believe me, it's going to be going somewhere else. It's going to be going to my kids. Sunday school teachers, to the scout leaders, to the volunteer coaches, to all the people who don't get a penny for all the hard work they're doing in my kids' lives. That's where I'm sending the gifts. That's where I'm sending the cards and the flowers. And I do do that stuff. Because that's important, and those are the people that I really focus on, and I appreciate the teachers. They get a fabulous salary. They can't be fired. They've got a cushy job. That should be appreciation enough. This is Betsy Hart. You're listening to It Takes a Parent, and frankly, this parent is probably going to cave when it comes to Parent Appreciation Week or Teacher Appreciation Week and do all this stuff, because let's face it, I don't really need to be a pariah at my children's school. They've still got a couple more years there, so I'll suck up and play the game. Okay, moving right along in the heartbeat section of the show. You're listening to AM 1160 WYLL. And you know what? I am not known as an overly protective parent of my kids. It probably does not surprise you. Yes, I believe in bicycle helmets and seat belts and life jackets when my kids are on the water, and on it goes. But the panicked overprotectiveness that I see so many parents exhibit today toward their young children in particular really frustrates me. You know, this is all the more so when I contrast it to what I observe too often during the teen years when things get really dangerous. I've seen parents who are just oblivious to or afraid to face head-on issues like their teens and sex, drugs, pornography on the web, driving irresponsibly, and on it goes. I'm especially tired, you know what, of parents rationalizing this hands-off approach during their child's most dangerous years because their child gets good grades. So what? Anyway, I'm convinced that too many of us, when the stakes are highest, back off the most. Now, this is not true for my friend Gail, and here names have been changed to protect the innocent and not so innocent, but here is her story. Gail and her husband, they are great parents. They've never been the helicopter sort. Most importantly, more than anyone else I know, Gail gets that her children are, well, wonderful little sinners. She understands that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, as the Bible says. So when Gail's daughter, Sarah, high school junior, recently wanted to join a girl sleepover at Jean's house after a school dance recently, Gail said no. Now, she's a fun parent. She lets her kids do fun stuff, but she's just, I'm not sure I'm totally down on sleepovers, but she is. That's just her deal. Okay, fine. At the pre-dance party, so, you know, with all the girls and the parents, you know, they're all dressed up and getting a picture taken, the other kids were begging Gail to let Sarah join the after-dance sleepover. Gail stood her ground, not least of all because, well, she'd been a high school junior. In fact, she and I were classmates, and she knew what we all know, that after-dance sleepovers at best involve little sleep. At worst, they meant the girl snuck out and got into trouble after the exhausted host parents went to bed. Now, even Gail's husband in this case suggested that she change her mind. Gail said no. Personally, not sure I could have stood up against all that. But let me tell you something. She is so glad that she did. And this all just happened fairly recently. A week or so after the dance, it turned out that no sleepover ever existed. You know, I'm wondering, did the other parents even call the ostensible sleepover host parents ahead of time and say, hey, I understand you're having a girl sleepover? Maybe then Jean's parents would have said, what are you talking about? But apparently that didn't happen. Where were these parents, I'd like to know? No. See, rather the girls and boys and alcohol had snuck into a parent's second home an hour away from the dance and partied the night away. Think of what the consequences to that could have been. Just think about it. When the owners of the second home, fortunately, they finally discovered what happened, of course, they rightly called every parent of a child involved to let them know what had transpired. Only guess what? One parent said, oh, we know. They had somehow, I guess, figured out where their child was at 1:30 in the morning. So, yeah, we figured out where our boy was. It was their son. And we went and picked him up. I'm sorry, excuse me, what? And they didn't break up the party and alert the other parents? No, apparently not. Who wants to interfere and make judgment calls these days? Come on. Most interesting is that, in retrospect, Gail remembered that Sarah hadn't really pushed to join the sleepover nearly as much as the girls were begging Gail to let her join it. So Gail has little doubt that Sarah, who knew all about the plans, of course, was quietly relieved to hide behind her, quote, overprotective parents and stay out of a very dangerous situation. Now, that is what a mom and dad are for. You know what, friends? It really does take a parent. I am beginning to think that that is especially true during the teen years. And you know, people will say, oh, come on, she's going to be in college in a year and a half. At some point, she has to be allowed to do these screw-ups, to screw up on her own, if you want to call it that. And, you know, she is going to be in college in a year and a half, and that's all the more reason to be particularly vigilant about this now and to stay on top of this situation and to get as many good habits into your kids as you can today, precisely because they're going to go off on their own all too soon. We don't have very much time with them. And if you don't want to look back and have those regrets, you want to know that you were a parent, a real parent. And, you know, my dad used to say, to be a good parent, you have to be part cop. Frankly, I think my parents should have been better cops when it came to me, but because they weren't is partly why I suppose I know what goes on out there, and I intend and have been so far, I hope, a real good cop, or I try to be a good cop when it comes to my four kids, because I think sometimes we get so caught up in protecting them when they're little because somehow that salves our consciences about not doing so when they're older. It's easy to say, put on your bicycle helmet. It's not so easy to say, don't have sex outside of marriage. And by doing so much of the one, we kind of let ourselves off the hook of the latter. And you know what? That's a big mistake. So is being naive about what our kids are into and up to. They are wonderful, delightful, fabulous, much loved little sinners. They are sinners just like us. And moms and dads, we need to get that. And we need to be on top of it. And we need to be a parent. Next up on It Takes a Parent, we are talking about global warming. We just got through Earth Week. And how do we kind of fight back on the politics of this crazy agenda that's going to cost our kids? Stay with me when we talk to the new executive director of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation right here on It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL. Don't go away.
Start your day with Truth for Life and Alistair Begg. Weekday mornings at 7:30 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
It is awesome. It's very uplifting, encouraging. AM 1160
WYLL. Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois, each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's cookies continue to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. The Chicago Tribune selected Matt's cookies as the first place winner in a blind taste test of commercially baked chocolate chip cookies. They said Matt's cookies had lots of real chocolate and a soft texture that some equated with being most like homemade. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocery shelf and just about every grocery store. Matt's cookies, the homemade style store-bought cookies, now available in chocolate chip pecan, peanut butter with chocolate chips, cranberry, walnut, and fig bars. Wow, Matt's cookies. Get some today.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios inviting you to join me Thursday night, April the 30th at 7 p.m. at the Mercury Theater for a special party at Mark's Gospel. Your ticket for that night will include free coffee and dessert at a WYLL reception after the show. Plus, the first 25 listeners that purchase their ticket will receive a WYLL goodie bag and get to meet Max McLean. That's Thursday, April the 30th at the Mercury Theater in Chicago. Go to WYLL.com or MarksGospelOnStage.com for more details. See you there.
Eat Lunch with Chuck and Charles. Swindoll and Stanley, weekdays noon to 1, here on AM 1160.
Columnist and commentator Betsy Hart sees parents who are tyrannized by experts, anxious and harried by their children to the point of misery, and she faults today's permissive parenting culture. In a critically acclaimed book, It Takes a Parent, how the culture of pushover parenting is hurting our kids and what to do about it. Betsy Hart, mother of four, presents a smart, refreshingly honest, and provocative argument for the crucial role of parents who lead rather than follow. Bill Bennett says of It Takes a Parent, I highly recommend it. Buy your signed copy now at betsysblog.com. That's betsysblog.com.
Do you ever look in the mirror and think you need a lift? That maybe while you work hard to exercise and be in shape, to eat well, to look good for your age, to be healthy, your face isn't reflecting how you feel inside? Acclaimed facial cosmetic surgeon Dr. Wathi Khanna and the folks at Skinsational Med Spa in Hinsdale can help. Today there are so many wonderful enhancements available to you with little or no downtime and no surgery. And they can help you to look good on the outside like you feel on the inside, vibrant, healthy, younger. Dr. Hanna is a leader in treatments like Restylane to fill deeper facial lines, Botox to soften them, and the amazing skin tightener Accent. What's really incredible, just a little bit of investment on the outside can help you to better reflect your inner beauty. Now, I'm not going to give away any of my own secrets. I'm just going to tell you that I love the folks at Skinsational Med Spa. Call them now at 630-887-8180. That's 630-887-8180. Or visit HannahMD.com.
Start your day with Telling the Truth and Stuart Briscoe. Weekday mornings at 10 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
It keeps me centered on Christ all day long.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL. This is Betsy Hart. You know, I've got four kids, and anybody who has kids who's just lived through this Earth Week, you know, Earth Week was back on the 22nd, anybody who's lived through this week saw their kids, if you go to a public school, and in fact, one of my kids goes to a very conservative Christian school, he was coming home with it too, all the global warming hype. The world is coming to an end. Mankind, for the first generation in thousands and thousands of generations, is now impacting the Earth in this profound and extremely destructive way. And we're basically headed to environmental Armageddon. So in the process, what we need to do is to completely destroy all economic growth and development and pretty much go back to living in the Stone Age, because that's the only way that we can possibly forestall the end of the world, because mankind is just that powerful that for the first time in human history we're capable of destroying the world, apparently. And our world is going to change politically and economically because there are folks who actually believe that. And you saw those flyers and all that stuff coming home with your kids. I sure did. And you know, it's a little distressing. And I'm delighted to have on the show today Shannon Moy. She is the executive director of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. Shannon, welcome to
Take
the Parent
Show.
Thank
you so much. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm so glad to have you on. This is quickly becoming one of my really big issues. And let's just talk for a minute about the issue itself. And for, I don't know, bizarre reasons I can't really explain, this happens to be something that I've actually researched a lot. And one of the things that struck me, Shannon, when we talk about the climate change and all this, is a little book I read, and I've talked about this before on the show, and it's called Life in the Year 1000. And it's not a political book at all. It's just life. It's just a book about what life was like in the year 1000. It focuses on England and town's life and how people dressed and food and recreation and religious life. It's what life was like. And there are a couple of pages in there, and it just very matter-of-factly, and the book came out about 15 years ago. It's a cute little book. It talks about how in the year 1000, most scientists understand now that the Earth was at least 2 to 4 degrees warmer than
right.
it is now.
Right.
And in fact, this was called the little optimum. Why? Because it meant that people in that day actually were relatively healthy to what they are now. They grew to about the height that we grow to now, had fairly good teeth, and it was considered a very it was an excellent time for growing, for food production, again, relatively speaking, of course.
Sure.
And, in fact, this author just happens to discuss the fact that when Leif Erikson was doing his travels near the North Pole, he found vineyards. Vineyard, Shannon, in the North Pole. And, in fact, the reason he could get so far north is because the icebergs had broken up because the world was warmer.
Right.
And it's not political at all. And then they go on to talk about how people dressed and courted and all this kind of stuff. But this is the kind of facts that are out there.
Sure.
But I'll tell you something. This week in school, it's not the stuff my kids were hearing.
Exactly.
They were hearing that I'm the problem because I turn my lights on at night.
Exactly. And one of the fascinating things is that our environmental opponents on these issues unfortunately view people as polluters mm-hmm. and consumers primarily, rather than the way Cornwall looks at people, which is that we are stewards and producers. If you look around, everything creative that's out there came from the heart and mind of some person.
Now tell me, by the way, who is Cornwall when we talk about the Cornwall Alliance?
The Cornwall Alliance is a new alliance that came together back in 2007. The Cornwall Declaration was written. And came together as a desire to speak to these environmental issues in a way that is biblically sound and scientifically sound. It's both biblical and scientific.
And where does the name Cornwall come from?
It came from their original meeting place. I asked that same question.
That's where they just happened
to
be.
They originally had their meeting in Cornwall, Connecticut.
Okay.
And that first meeting was actually years ago. And then they came together and actually officially formed the Cornwall Alliance in the fall of 2007.
And I would love for my listeners to go to the website because
Absolutely.
It's cornwallalliance.org. And I
Correct.
Will be, in fact, the connection is already up on my website. It is a great site. And,
yes.
and the, one of the taglines is bridging humanity and the environment through faith and reason.
Yes.
And the reason I like this group, friends, is because it's not fighting back against the hysteria with more hysteria.
Right.
You know, I joke around about it at the top of the show, but it's actually taking hard science and looking at the repercussions of what the politicians would have us do in response to a quote-unquote catastrophe that actually more and more scientists are beginning to say doesn't really exists.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Not making sense. It could be that there's just a barely imperceptible amount of global warming. It, my understanding, Shannon, is that probably was the case until a couple of years ago, between 1990 and about 3 years ago. Now it looks like we might actually be going into something of a cooling trend. So the science is more and more clear that we have very natural periods of warming and cooling in the Earth. Is it possible that mankind contributes to that in some small way? It's possible. Is it the kind of thing where we want to destroy our economy in order to correct a problem that isn't essentially a problem because it's part of a natural occurring cycle?
Exactly.
And
well, the other thing, Betsy, that is really compelling to me, you know, we are in a time in our own nation of a real economic crisis. And some of the policies that are being discussed on Capitol Hill now are going to drive up food costs and drive up energy costs for families who are already struggling.
Now, explain to me how that is. Why is it that fighting the environment is going to do that?
Well, now you know I'm new to these issues, so I don't claim to be an expert on these issues. But as I am learning about them, the thing that is clear is that some of the policies that are being discussed, this cap and trade policy that's being discussed, is a policy where you are only allowed to put out so much CO2 from your business or your home. And if you put out more than that, and CO2, remember, this is what we breathe out.
And the EPA has now declared it a pollutant.
Exactly.
It was once the dominant gas on the earth.
Exactly. Oh. And the funny thing is, I was joking with the guys the other day, okay, so when I go and run, I'll try only to breathe in instead of breathing out because I'm poisoning every time I exhale.
Yeah, that's too funny. Actually, go ahead.
So what we're doing is we're considering policies that are going to end up causing our energy costs to go up. And any energy increases right now, frankly, with where some families are really struggling, is really of concern. The thing that troubles me even more is that those are concerns for us here in the States. But even those of us here in the States who have minor struggles financially, you know, a husband loses a job or a marriage breaks up and you're dealing with some financial stress, it is nothing like the crisis that many people around the world are struggling with. Mm. And the reality is that these policies that are based on this pseudoscience, the population most greatly affected by this are those who can least afford it, and that is the world's poor.
Mm.
And that is really what drives the Cornwall Alliance and the people involved. The other website you should know about is wegetit.org.
Wegetit.org. Okay.
That is sort of the practical side of living out what Cornwall teaches on the philosophical religious thinking side.
Mm-hmm.
We Get It is about carrying that out to actually touch lives and touch communities and touch the poor in ways that make a difference for them. That's what we're about.
It occurs to me that when I listen to some of these folks who are behind this environmental agenda, and by the way, friends, as I've talked about here before in the show, increasingly the evangelical community is, or has at least, they may be pulling back from this a little bit, but there seems to be, among its leaders at least, an ever-increasing move to become part of this. And there's a sort of a left-wing social agenda creeping into evangelicalism anyway, but the centerpiece of it does seem to be taking on the quote-unquote global warming initiative. And that is something to be very much aware of in evangelical circles. I know that's something Cornwall Alliance is speaking to. But one of the things that amazes me is what an impact this does have on the third world, very, very specifically food for fuel.
Yes,
food for fuel
exactly.
programs.
So, and we saw that. We've seen that a lot over the last year.
Yeah, where corn is used for fuel instead of for food. And I was talking with a couple of people who are very involved with national Christian relief efforts. And they said whereas previously, for instance, the government, the federal government, would give them excess corn from food storage and that kind of thing, that is no longer available, that they used to be able to ship that to countries in need. That's gone now. There's no extra corn. It's all being used for fuel because of global warming hype, and that means people are starving. And that doesn't matter to the fancy pants people in Georgetown who are concerned about global warming, but it sure matters to people in sub-Saharan Africa.
Exactly. Absolutely. Mothers and babies in Africa are hungry as a result of these extreme environmental
policies. Why don't they see this, Shannon, or do they see it and they don't care? I mean, you know, sometimes I've heard the expression, there are certain people who love humanity but hate people. I mean, is that...
Right. Well, again, you have to go back, though, Betsy, to this, the dichotomy in our thinking. Remember that they think of people, the environmental extremists, and frankly, unfortunately, even some of our left-wing evangelical friends, see people predominantly as polluters and consumers. Now, what do you have to do if people are predominantly polluters and consumers? You need less people.
You need, that's right. That is
and
right.
And so it's not necessarily that these groups are the same groups that would promote abortion abroad. They just won't let us get food to those people, so they die naturally.
Yeah.
But it's not the same as killing them directly, maybe, but it's still really against the principles of what we believe as Christians.
And isn't it interesting that sometimes if you follow the money on some of these things and who's funding the global warming hype,
exactly.
you get a whole lot of information about what their agenda might really be.
Exactly.
Stay with
That's
us.
Exactly
we're
right.
we're going to talk more about that. Come
Perfect.
Back to It Takes a Parent with Shannon Royce right after this.
Answers to the questions you've been afraid to ask. Ask the Pastor with Pastor Gregory Dicko. Weekday evenings from 5 to 6 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
Friends, you know how important physical fitness is, not just to your physical, but to your emotional health and well-being. So then how is your New Year's resolution to get or stay fit going for you? Well, mine is off to a great start thanks to Elite Fitness in Western Springs. Conveniently located in the western suburbs, Elite Fitness offers state-of-the-art weights and cardio and weightlifting machines along with great personal training. Now with their new expanded facilities, there's room for all your fitness needs. But what I love most are the classes. Elite offers a wide range of spin, Pilates, strong, boxing, total body fitness classes, and more, and their instructors are great. For the first time in my life, I'm regularly going to fitness classes several times a week. I'm having fun, I'm in better shape than ever, and when I take a class in the morning, I have a sense of added well-being that lasts throughout the day. Hey, maybe I'll see you there. Join now or find out more at ElitefitnessWS.com. That's ElitefitnessWS.com. Calling all campers and mom and dad, that's you too. This is Betsy encouraging you to enjoy the time of your family's life at Take Y Family Camp in Branson, Missouri this summer. Choose your 6 days of solid Christian teaching and fun activities for the whole family in a beautiful Hawaii-like resort environment. My kids and I love it, so we're headed back this summer. Check out Take Y Family Camp, part of the Kanakuk family of Christian sports camps, by going to my website, betsysblog.com. Take Y, a family vacation with eternal significance.
If you own your own business and want to let people know about it, then advertise it on this show. It Takes a Parent reaches thousands of moms and dads all over the Chicagoland area. Nationally syndicated columnist, author, and radio show host, Betsy Hart, can tell everyone about your product or business on her show. Let Betsy's advertising team of experts come out to meet you for a free consultation. Introductory rates available for a limited time. Call 847-472-8942. 847-472-8942. That's 847-472-8942.
If you love to travel, we've got a great deal for you. Go to 1160travel.com for some of the best travel rates online. Check out 1160travel.com, all courtesy of Chicago's Christian Talk, AM 1160, WYLL.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent, AIM 1160 WYLL. This is Betsy Hart. We're talking about global warming, or better put, the lack thereof, and why our predominant thinking in this country is not only that it's happening, but that it's a catastrophe that is just around the corner, when in fact the science actually says something very different. And I have Shannon Royce on the phone, and she's with the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. That is cornwallalliance.org. You are going to want to visit this site. It is very, very thoughtful, very careful, very much speaking to, as Christians, what is our calling? What is our calling to stewardship, to steward the earth, to see it as a place of great wonder, to honor God's creation, and how to take care of it, how to think about it rightly without worshiping the creation. Shannon, welcome back to It Takes a Parent.
Thank you.
Now, you wanted to touch again on something that we had talked about, which is, where are evangelicals on this issue?
Well, it's interesting. If you listen to the hype that you will hear in the media, you will hear that evangelicals really feel strongly about global warming, and the impression is that all evangelicals have bought into this global warming bandwagon, and it simply is not true. The latest Barna poll on this was from September, and their polling numbers showed that 34%, only 34% of evangelicals believe global warming is the kind of catastrophe that the media would have us believe.
Interesting. And what about the general population?
The general population is significantly higher. And I do not recall that number. It seems like it's in the 60s, Betsy. I can get that to you.
Okay, but you had said it's dropping.
It is dropping. It has dropped 10 to 15% in Gallup polling.
Interesting.
And the Pew polling shows a 10 to 15% drop among the overall population in their belief that global warming is this catastrophic problem.
Okay, so maybe some of this honest answers or honest science is beginning to get through. And there's some other great websites like junkscience.org, where you can just go and find out that the stuff about, from warming and glaciers and polar bears, and a lot of it is just based on junk. And one of the things, and I've had Dr. Beissner from the Cornwall Alliance on here before, that he talks about is following the funding.
Yes.
And oftentimes you will find that those who are funding this research have a very political agenda. Sometimes it's a pro-choice / pro-abortion agenda. Other times it's people who are being funded by the government, and they do studies on whether or not certain things are pollutants. And of
exactly.
course, the only way to get that funding again next year is to come up with the answer the government wants.
Exactly.
And on it goes. And you actually have, at the Cornwall Alliance, you have a host of not just theologians and religious leaders, but you have scientists, academics,
exactly.
policy experts who are part of this and who are beginning to fight back on this.
Right. The website is really terrific on this, and I am more new to this issue as well, probably as many of your listeners are.
Yeah.
And this is a great website that will really educate your listeners.
Okay, great. And again, some of the things that you talk about are things in medieval times. We now know that the Earth was significantly warmer. In fact, one thought, my understanding is, one theory is that is actually what literally led to the plagues, because it was such a fertile period. People,
right.
people were reproducing, they were living, not dying as much. That created a much more crowded environment, at least in cities, which then led to the plagues. So we don't want global warming to lead to plagues, but the fact is, it led to a lot of fertility, it led to greater food growth, etc. So not only do you have to prove that global warming is actually happening, but then you got to make the case to me that it's a bad thing. And I got to tell you, in Chicago, where it gets real cold, a little global warming, a couple of degrees, I think would be a lot
would
more.
Would be just fine with
right.
you, wouldn't it?
Right. Mm-hmm. So, no, but we do have, I mean, and I'm glad to hear about that poll, and I had seen some numbers along those lines that evangelicals themselves are not necessarily buying into this at the rate that
right.
the general population is. But we do have some evangelical leaders who are. There definitely is a movement in some evangelical circles to embrace a more, quote-unquote, socially conscious and environmentalist agenda. Where is that coming from with them?
Well, I think it started out a number of years ago with some on the left deliberately courting and engaging some of our Christian friends and brothers on issues like this, and unfortunately, I think at times co-opting them with their concerns. I don't question the motives of those who have gotten engaged on that, but I think, unfortunately, the science just doesn't support this.
Yeah, I suppose maybe it just, I don't know, makes us feel good to feel good. I don't know. But, you know, there's just a couple of things going on here, and one is clearly... you know, one is clearly a desire in some quarters to worship the creation and
Correct.
Not the creator. And
Correct.
we've all heard about that. I also think there's just, you know, it's always fun to be part of a hysteria. I mean, it's just, there's just that.
Energy.
Yeah, there's
yes.
just that energy and that sense of we've got to do something about this now. But I'm increasingly thinking, Shannon, that the third thing is incredible arrogance. And here's what I mean by that. It's the baby boomers. You know, they do everything for the first time.
Right.
And
no one's ever done this.
No
before.
One's ever done this before.
Exactly.
No generation in the history of the world has ever impacted the world. So nobody's ever impacted it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except
right.
for the baby boomers, who are the first ones, man, to come along, and boy, they're having an impact. Nobody else
they're
ever
world
did.
Changers.
But they are the world changers. I'm convinced that that's where a lot of this comes from. They have to believe that they're that significant. Really, I mean, mm-hmm. they're just not that important. But they have to believe that they are. And so my question for these people is always, okay, so what's the correct temperature of the Earth?
Right.
And they'll kind of, what?
Exactly.
No, really, tell me what the correct temperature is,
right.
because you seem to know. Is it today's temperature? Is it the temperature of 200 years ago?
Right.
I mean, what is the correct temperature? Share that information with me. And, of course, they never can. I just want to say,
exactly.
you know what, people aren't as important as you think you are. So, anyway, you know, and friends, we can go into the science on this, but I don't want to take up our time with this. So go to the website, cornwallalliance.org, and it will walk you through beautifully what the real science is on the global warming issue. What I want to talk about is the politics of it and the cost of pursuing this agenda. So tell me a little bit more about where the Obama administration is, because that to me is scary.
You know, interestingly, just yesterday there was a hearing in the Energy and Commerce Committee in the House on this energy bill that Congressman Waxman is putting forward. And I found it very interesting that while the administration pretty much supports the things that he is doing, they mm-hmm. did not actually endorse the bill, which I found very interesting. Just read
that is, and because why?
Well, I just think it's interesting. I think they are conscious of the reality that families are struggling right now,
okay.
and that there are going to be economic impacts as a result of these policies if they go forward. And I think they're kind of biding their time and holding their cards and seeing what happens.
Okay, so maybe they're not going to necessarily...
They may not endorse it. They may sort of bless it, but not actually officially endorse it and see what happens.
Well, where is the House on this? When you look at particularly Henry Waxman, you look at
yes.
some of these things that are similar to the Kyoto Protocol,
yes.
which we never ended up adopting, either during the Clinton or the Bush administrations.
Right.
So where is the sentiment on Capitol Hill on this? Let me go back to the White House.
The expectation is that the Waxman bill is going to move through the committee by the end of May.
Okay.
For the Memorial Day recess.
And can you give me some details, like what would that, I know it has cap and trade that we talked about, what would be some other aspects of that bill?
I would have to get that information
okay.
to you, Betsy. I just started a week ago,
okay.
so I'm just on a learning curve.
Got
here,
it.
But we could get that information to you for your website and for your listeners.
Okay. I know, I do know that it takes into account a lot of the provisions of the Kyoto Treaty, which were extremely draconian as far as cutting down our emissions. And of course,
exactly.
We can't control China.
20% decrease,
yeah.
As I recall, is what Waxman is looking
for. Yeah, which
would
be extraordinary.
That's non-negotiable.
Okay, so anyway, so it's going to get through that committee.
And then the expectation is, of course, that it will go to the floor, but there is question about whether or not this can move forward in its current state on the full House floor. So we should hope that it cannot.
Okay, that there might be enough people in some of these
exactly.
districts who don't want to have to go back and say, by the way, we're sending you back to the days of sticks and stones.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And what about in the Senate? What is their...
In the Senate, this bill, again, not as much activity in the Senate right now. I think they're waiting for the House to act.
Okay.
There is another proposal that I just read about this morning in the New York Times that is dealing with, I'm going to draw a blank on it, Betsy, forgive me, but it is dealing with another critical energy question, and interestingly, it has Senator John Kerry on the left and Senator James Inhofe on the right.
Okay.
So it's dealing with coal mines and the output from coal mines that actually is seen as destructive, and Senator Inhofe agrees that that is an issue of concern, and, you know, he's a good guy on this issue.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
For him to also be on a bill, that looks like that bill might actually move. But the bill that's the Waxman bill in the Senate, I have not heard about movement there.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Well, you know, as we think through this and we kind of look at, and maybe it is the recession which is going to keep
right.
some of these policymakers from getting their goodie basket full of things, what can we do? We've just got another minute or so left. We can go to CornwallAlliance.org. We can get educated. We can educate our kids. We can not be afraid to stand against this cultural
exactly.
move on junk science. What are some concrete steps we can take beyond that?
The concrete step I would really encourage your listeners to do is to go to WeGetIt.org.
Okay.
And to sign the pledge on WeGetIt.org. This is going to allow you to participate with us in very practical practical projects in your local area.
Okay.
We should be involved in stewarding the earth.
Absolutely.
And this would be a step to allow them to get engaged in their communities and also to get weekly updates from us about the latest cutting-edge things that are happening in this area.
And stewarding the earth in a
Absolutely.
Way that pleases God
Absolutely.
Instead of worships the earth. Shannon Roy, thank you so much for
My
joining
pleasure.
Us today from the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. Great to have you on
Thanks,
the air.
Betsy.
Friends, come right back. We've got a little bit more in the heartbeat section of the show on stress. You're listening to It Takes a Parent. Don't leave.
Hi, I'm Larry Morrow, announcer for Truth for Life. Listen to Pastor Alistair Begg weekday mornings at 7:30 right here on AM 1160 WYLL.
AM 1160 WYLL.
Do you know that a huge percentage of illnesses are because of stress? I believe it. Look, I used to think a massage was a rare luxury to be enjoyed only on a vacation or for a special occasion, but no more. Not since I've been going to Massage Envy in Western Springs. Now, massage is an affordable, regular part of my wellness program. Massage Envy of Western Springs will show you how consistent massage can lower blood pressure and stress, improve your circulation, and make you feel oh so good. And in these tough times, you need something to affordably feel good about. Massage Envy is open late, so you can go after the kids are in bed, or you can walk in anytime. Your first massage is only $49, and a membership at one Massage Envy is good at them all. My Massage Envy in Western Springs is a little oasis for me. And for this single mom of four, it's not a luxury, it's a necessity. Call 708-784-ENVY. That's 708-784-ENVY to book your first massage.
Who puts real chocolate in chocolate chip cookies? Now, a quarter pound of real chocolate in every single pound. Who puts real chocolate in chocolate chip cookies? Now, and that's why Math is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around.
Most things today seem to be mass production and speed. In the big cookie companies, for instance, the cookies race along at 35 miles an hour so they can keep up with production. But at Math, we do things nice and slow. That's because it takes longer to make Matt's cookies with all natural ingredients instead of artificial ones. But while Matt's cookies may be made slow, boy, do they get eaten up fast.
A quarter pound real chocolate in every single pound. And that's why MAP is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around. Yeah, that's why MAP is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around. MAP.
Now MAP cookies are available via Peapod delivery service.
Writers who publish the old-fashioned way tell a lot of the same stories. A compromised message, little control over the product, and a year or more before a book is on the market. Want to keep your book yours? Self-publish with Zulon Press. Specializing in Christian authors, Zulon Press requires no compromises, gets your book in print in a fraction of the time, and 100% of the reward is yours. Learn more with your free self-publishing guide at ChristianPublishing.com. Your book, your message, your rewards. ChristianPublishing.com.
Calling all campers, and Mom and Dad, that's you too. This is Betsy encouraging you to enjoy the time of your family's life at Take Wise Family Camp in Branson, Missouri this summer. Choose your 6 days of solid Christian teaching and fun activities for the whole family in a beautiful Hawaii-like resort environment. My kids and I love it, so we're headed back this summer. Check out Take Wise Family Camp, part of the Kanaka family of Christian sports camps, by going to my website, betsysblog.com. Take Wise, a family vacation with eternal significance.
AM 1160.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL. This is Betsy Hart. Hey, friends, I'd love for you to visit betsysblog.com. That's betsysblog.com. And there you can find out all kinds of fun stuff. In particular, I would love to see you at a talk I'm giving here in Chicago at the University Club on May 6th. It's a luncheon, and you can go even if you are not a member of the University Club in Chicago. It tells you where to get your tickets and how to do that. So I'm hoping to see a whole bunch of you folks at that lunch. That's May 6th, Wednesday, a lunch at the University Club in Chicago. So you can find out about that on betsysblog.com. You can visit my sponsors, all kinds of other fun stuff. So I hope you will stop by there. Now, one of the things I'm going to be posting there is something a friend of mine sent me today. It comes from the Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. It's the Purpose-Driven Connection, the daily devotional. It's about stress, and I thought this was really interesting. In our devotion series, Pastor Rick Warren discusses the Bible passages that inspire him the most. Today's devotional is based on this passage. Jesus said to his followers, go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. Now then, what Warren talks about is how a lot of people are on overload and headed for a crash. Consider these statistics among U.S. citizens. This is very interesting, friends. Listen up. People now sleep 2.5 fewer hours each night compared to people from 100 years ago. 2.5 hours. And this makes sense because before electricity, you know, the candle goes out, it's dark, it's late, you go to bed. I mean, you're done. So as a result, and I've heard this before, that they used to sleep on average 10 hours a night. Can you believe that? So they were getting great night's sleeps, or at least they were in their beds all night. The average work week is longer now than it was in the 1960s. The average office worker has 36 hours of work piled up on his or her desk. It takes 3 hours a week just to sort through it and find what we need. He goes on with these statistics, and again, this is from the Purpose-Driven Connection, a daily devotional, and this is from yesterday's April 22nd. We spend 8 months of our lives, I mean, this is distressing, we spend 8 months of our lives opening junk mail, 2 years of our lives playing phone tag with people who are too busy to answer, oh my gosh, and 5 years waiting for people who are trying to do too much and are late for meetings. I'm not sure I'm really going with all those numbers there, but it's definitely a lot of time we're wasting. We're piled on, stretched to the limit society, chronically rushed, chronically late, chronically exhausted. Many of us feel like Job did when he said, I have no peace, I have no quiet, I have no rest. No, Job sounds like a mother of young children there, but in any event, and trouble keeps coming. Overload, Warren writes, comes when we have too much activity in our lives, too much change, too many choices, too much work, too much debt, too much media exposure. Amen, brother. Dr. Richard Swenson says, he writes, the conditions of modern living today devour margin. If you're homeless, we direct you to a shelter. If you're penniless, we offer you food stamps. If you're breathless, we connect you to oxygen. But if you're marginless, in other words, you have no time on the edges to smell the roses, we give you one more thing to do. Have you ever heard that expression? Want something done? Ask a busy person to do it. Marginless is being 30 minutes late. Oh, this is, I don't even want to, you know, even this is my life. So I'm being convicted here as I'm reading this. Margin list is being 30 minutes late to the doctor's office because you were 20 minutes late getting out of the hairdresser. Because you were 10 minutes late dropping the children off at school because the car ran out of gas 2 blocks from a gas station and you forgot your purse. That's margin list. No, that would be an occasional description of my life. You need margin in your life when you're not hurrying and worrying all the time. You have to think. Time to relax. Time to enjoy life. Time to be still and know that God is God. And that's from Rick Warren, of course, founding pastor of Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California. You know, I love thinking through these issues. And the fact is I've never actually had an original thought in my life. But I like delving into other people's really interesting thoughts about these issues. And when I read this, several came to mind. And one was the concept, the reality that how we define stress today and how it was defined 100 years ago is surely very different. I mean, 100 years ago, you just weren't sure if you were going to make it through childbirth and if all of your children were going to grow up to adulthood. I mean, most of the time they didn't. Babies died. Women died so constantly in childbirth that until the 1930s, it was very difficult for them, a woman of childbearing age, to even get life insurance, for instance. It only was in the last century that was something we survived on a routine basis. If you lived out in the farmland, far out in the plains or in the western plains, and there wasn't water, there wasn't good rain, your family might starve to death. I mean, that was real stress. People died all the time. There were no antibiotics. You could just easily get a death sentence from the most simple of illnesses. Babies died. You didn't know if you were going to be able to feed your family. That was real stress. The idea of running late to an appointment, ostensibly, that's not real stress, or maybe it shouldn't be. It is in my life. I get stressed out by that stuff. So believe me, I'm guilty of this too. I'm just saying that compared to the stress of living and dying, what we experience now for the most part, in the United States at least, is not what should probably be on that stress meter. And yet, it remains the case that real depression rates are up about 10 times since the 1950s. And this is not just because it's better reported and there's less stigma. It really is significantly up. Most researchers agree that they may disagree on the amount, but most agree that it is stress. Definitely it has increased, and so have depression rates significantly. And one of the thoughts about this, and Martin Seligman, who's a happiness researcher, talks about this. It's very interesting. He says there's several key things. One is consumerism. One is this hedonistic treadmill we're on. We always want more. We're just, by definition, live in a culture. We're not satisfied with what we have, no matter how much it is. We begin to think that we just need more. So wherever we're at, we always got to have more. That keeps us stressed out and on the treadmill. But one of the things he notes that really strikes me is that we just don't have the networks, the social networks, and the sense of belonging to community that we used to. We are very much an individualistic society. It's very much all about me. So my successes and my failures then take on this huge importance, whereas we used to be in very large, extended, well-networked families for the most part, lived fairly close to each other. We certainly had strong communities with strong moral bases, and we had strong social ties in our churches. There were webs that we were part of. So if we failed over here in our little part of the web, if we experienced a failure, the larger web might still be going strong. In fact, they probably were. So our failure, Seligman said, did not take on this huge import that they do now. In the same way, our successes were also just one part of the web. So we didn't put as much importance into them, because if we had a huge success, somebody else might not be in our web of influence, might not be having that same success. And so it tempered our sense of how preservative that was, if you want to put it that way. We were part of a web, and we rose and fell together, but had that support structure and that sense of, it's not all about me. My successes and my failures are not just about me. My successes and my failures need to be shared and part of a larger community. And so it really insulated us from a lot of the stress that goes with modern living in a very, very individualistic culture. And how this translates, I think, into the church, and I've talked about this with the book Christless Christianity by Michael Horton, is he believes that in modern evangelicalism, we have again become very me-centered. It's not How do I glorify God? How do I fit into His web of what He is doing in the world? Even if I can't see it or understand it, how can I ask God to use me in that web to glorify Him, to glorify His purposes and His missions and His goals and what He wants to do with my life? That is less and less the question that we are asking. And it's the right biblical question to ask, Horton says, but it's less the question we modern evangelicals are asking more and more in a whole lot of churches. We are asking, what can God do for me? How can He help my relationships? How can He help my job? How can He help my kids? How can He help me to be happier and more productive? We're not asking, how do I forget all that stuff? Maybe it's not God's purpose that I be happy and productive in this life, or at least not happy in this life, or content in the way I think I should be. Maybe it's His purpose that I do something else entirely, and how do I give myself all over to His purposes? Instead, we've become a very me-centered Christianity, and I think that's where a lot of stress comes from, too. Because once you're me-centered, if me isn't doing real well, me's got a real problem, and it's easy to get stressed out. Instead of saying, God, how do I fit into Your mission for what You want of my life? And then we know, hopefully, that God does get it right. And we can trust Him with that, and I think that that can help to take some of the stress off. So in the meantime, all I can tell you is go get a great night's sleep and think about fitting into God's mission, not how He can fit into yours. Friends, it has been a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining me on It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart from all of us at the show saying have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Answers to the questions you've been afraid to ask.
Ask the Pastor with Pastor Gregory Dickow.
Weekday evenings from 5 to 6 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
Do you ever look in the mirror and think that maybe while you work hard to exercise and be in shape, your face isn't reflecting how you feel inside? Acclaimed facial cosmetics surgeon Dr. Wafi Khanna and the folks at Skinsational Med Spa in Hinsdale can help. You can look more on the outside like you feel on the inside, vibrant, healthy, younger. You know about Botox for frown lines and Restylane to plump lips and facial folds, but they also offer photo rejuvenation. With no downtime, it removes most brown and red spots and improves dull complexions. There's microdermabrasion and pixel resurfacing to treat large pores and rough skin texture. But what's really incredible about all this? Just a little bit of investment on the outside can help you to better reflect your inner beauty and wellness. Now, I'm not going to give away any of my own secrets. I'm just going to tell you that I love the folks at Skinsational Med Spa. Call them now at 630-887-8180. That's 630-887-8180. Or visit HannahMD.com.
AM 1160.
Who puts real chocolate in chocolate chip cookies? Matt, a quarter pound real chocolate in every single pound. Who puts real chocolate in chocolate chip cookies? Matt, and that's why Matt is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around.
Not long ago, a customer suggested we sell Matt's chocolate chip cookies in health food stores because of Matt's all natural ingredients. No additives or preservatives and less than 1/3 milligram of cholesterol in every cookie. Now, we appreciate the suggestion, but we don't make any health claims for Matt's. Just one psychological claim. Eat a Matt's chocolate chip cookie, and you'll feel real happy.
A quarter pound of real chocolate in every single pound. And that's why Matt's is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around. Yeah, that's why Matt's is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around.
Matt. Now Matt's cookies are available via Peapod delivery service.